The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
And Glennie's man, he's been in Celtic man, he's been in Charlatan, he's even been in China man. We've beaten Derry man, or maybe Kerry man, we're beating anyone we're meeting in the final man. His destiny is not just written in the sand, still got a plan, he's no lucky, lucky man. Oh, Jimmy's winning matches, Jimmy's winning games, Jimmy's bringing Sam back to Donegal again. Jimmy's winning matches, Jimmy's winning games, Jimmy's bringing Sam back to Donegal again. He's not from Senegal, he comes from Donegal, and if you want a mighty player, Jimmy got them all. He got Gavin Mann, he got Patton Mann, he got McHugh, he got McBurdy, he got Owen Bann. We'll crack a smile, cause we've seen it all before. Kilcar's a muff, from Letterkenny to Gidor. Oh, Jimmy's winning matches, Jimmy's winning games, Jimmy's bringing Sammy back to Donegal again. Oh, Jimmy's winning matches, Jimmy's winning games, Jimmy's bringing Sammy back to Donegal again.
You're a wee shy boy.
That is the great Rory Gallagher there. Of course, folks, we're playing that every week as we march on, because it's all been donated to the Donegal Hospice. Proceeds from that Jimmy reboot, he brought it into 2024.
Did you stamp on it too, did you?
Yeah. I think you can hear me in the background there, can't you?
Yeah, you're doing a bit of rapping with
We'll get the freestyle version for the next one.
It's good, you're sounding good.
The rap days, no, listen, hey, fair play. I'm savage jester by Rory. And listen, timing is everything. And the reboot came at the right time, the season.
It's coming alive, you know. It's
Dare we dream. But we get a bit poetic on it now as we count down the days to the semi-final. Listen, I want to thank Joe Dex is here producing. He also was on the Power Hour Plus. Sitting in for Ivan Borden. So,
pulling out the big tunes on a Monday night, Joe, huh?
We're talking about Black Rock and Beats, this man. Needs to go on the road with his own show.
He could definitely do that himself, all right. I get this mic round.
It's a one-man band. Listen, folks, what a season. We're going to recap the four games. We're going to be in the company of Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life in about 5 minutes. And the one and only Michael Murphy's coming in the studio.
The legend that is.
Yeah, yeah, you'll be partnered up well there. Probably two experts of the game, Michael. Michael
definitely, he's got the medal. He's broken our hearts as well, club level. But we always forgive him because he's Michael Murphy, you know.
Of course. Yeah. No, everybody gives. Listen, Michael is, I would say, you know, obviously, listen, the greatest player we've ever had.
Ah, yeah, without doubt. Yeah. For me, anyway, yeah.
2012 captain Anthony Molloy was along with us there at the waiting up for the match night at Donald Park last week, you know, and it just, you know, you have McNiff, you have Molloy, you have Murphy, you have McGuinness. They're kind of
the stories.
They're a wee bit outside of that's the hierarchy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Brian's always good crack. Now, in fairness, he's always got a story or two, Brian.
Yeah, indeed, he has. Listen, Tara Lynch was down from Tyrone, great crack. When we had Keevan Riley was down from. He's a presser up with the Longford Independent, or Longford Duluth Independent there. It's Dundalk Independent. He was great crack too. John Harn was along, always quiet, you know.
John good form, was he?
Yeah, we had Rory Kavanagh, and we had who was completing that? Michael McMullen, who's coming on now, of course.
Yeah.
I forgot Ermal, of course, all the way from
the tactical Stockton. Genius from Derry, yeah.
Yeah, listen, it was a great night. we did some score predictions. I was actually closest. And I predicted Kerry would beat Derry by 6 points. You were far off now, five.
No, you weren't, but suppose Michael will delve into that game. You know, suppose from a Derry point of view, was it legs or what was it? You know, because they didn't really go, you know, they didn't, I thought they should have, nothing to lose. You know, they sat back a wee bit deep, did they, Brian? I don't know, but you used experts to be able to tell us all that.
Don't be put me in the expert bracket. That doesn't happen. The Bulls up there yesterday, it was a strange enough game. My wee lad Lucas, we took him up the first match. I was thinking about my first few times in Croke Park and being pushed over the turnstiles for Galway, All Ireland, Hurling semi-finals and finals, you know. Mm. And you're lucky to get a bag of tato. There was my wee man. Now we parked outside the door at Croke Park, up in the premium, you know.
Stepping about.
Luxury pizza and snacks. How the world has changed. You know, right? No, you had a great day. Trasser took him up there. And listen, it's been a while since we've had, you know, big championship at Croke Park.
That's right. No, look, as I say, I suppose it's the first time for a lot of kids to get to Croke Park now. You know, suppose we've been used to it over since 2012.
You have too many kids.
Well, for one of my boys was up yesterday, Fourick Junior. He was up and... he thoroughly enjoyed it as well, but it's an experience we're going to have to do all over again, which is great, Brennan.
Yeah, do you think there'll be a scramble this time?
I think there will, Galway and Donegal, suppose it'll... Look, who knows what type of game it's going to be. Yeah.
We rarely see a sellout now at Croke Park.
It'll be hard. Who knows? I think that you're not going to be far away. You know, you're not going to be too far away from a sellout, so it's going to be interesting to see what way that works.
Yes, have to decide then which of the young healthies gets to go?
I was told they're all going, you know, regardless.
Well, listen, there's Michael Murphy. Michael, come on in. We'll get
there
on.
There he is now.
We'll get on Michael McMullen here and get the chat going. He's in the green there, is he?
Michael's in the green now. He's coming here.
Come on in. Mal, are you hearing us there?
Yeah, I hear you surely, yeah.
Coming through there. Yeah. Murph, throw on them heads. We're waiting on the two guys here. Michael, of course, along with everything else, out coaching. Were you coaching the club underage, Michael, was it?
Minors,
So how are you going?
Minors. Going good. Champs have started now next Monday. So yes. League and all throughout the year now, champs have started. So
yeah, after last season, it was it's going to be a big act to follow, is it?
Last year, we had a good enough year. We kind of, the change, so we had the same team. So it was under-17s last year, and now they've moved it all back to under-18s.
Oh, yeah, because so I was kind of thinking about last year in the season. Your dad was telling me all about it, and that spun out from out the road, that time, how you just lost all the leagues, but you're playing a certain style, and then it came good for the championship. Yeah. But it's a brilliant story, Michael, for the season, you know.
Right, now I enjoy it. Now, nice to get out. So we train kind of 5 o'clock, Mondays and Fridays, so get out.
What about you, Mal, up at Slochneil? Are you passing on that knowledge of yours?
Actually, passing on the knowledge with Glenn under 14 ladies and under 12. So my daughter plays with them. So I've entered the world of ladies football. So really,
if the Glenn tracks it on over there, what then? Is that what happens?
What's that?
Yeah. If the Glenn tracks it on you over there, do you?
No, I just stick to neutral colours like black and navy. Just
you'd be very careful there, Michael. Huh?
That's funny. The places you get pulled, all right, Mal. Hey, Michael, I was just thinking we're back in the semi final. It's 10 years. I can't believe it. You know, the epic 2014. You know, you captained us on that day. We were 8-3 down against this Dublin team that looked like they're going to destroy everybody. Michael, your memories of that game, I mean, it's one of the greatest, I would think it's one of the greatest days, never mind sporting days, for a lot of us Donegal people.
Aye, and do you know what? Been up at the Galway, Dublin kind of quarter there, and been on around kind of the sideline. You got that feeling and sense from the Galway players and management. You got this from the Galway supporters, that kind of just surreal buzz, like, you know. And like since then, like the last 10 years, that Dublin team, we've only been meeting 3 times. And I say that Dublin team, there's been numbers of kind of different Dublin teams over the last, but they've been beaten, I suppose, that time in 14, Mayo, a number of years back, and now that Galway team. And you just felt that there was such a big event, and just to be there at that one there at the weekend, it just felt good. And very similar again, you know, Dublin were cruising in that first half, similar to maybe the way they were against us just up until half time before we got that goal. And you know, the second half, probably they were hit with the sucker punches, and just that barrage from Galway was just ridiculous.
The energy and the momentum,
everything, all the things that you kind of need to do. There was clues there, I think, to be got from Dublin, teams that played Dublin this year and troubled them. Derry troubled them, league final. Mayo troubled them in the group stage. And they troubled them by going toe-to-toe and throwing the shackles off, going forward the other way. We know we've seen a lot of the other stuff over the weekend, which was everything but that, playing cautious. And you can defend them for as much as you want, but you have to go and beat them by scoring. And you look at Galway, that third quarter, my God, like it was just full on defending, pressing Cluxon's kickouts and getting the scores away. Killing McDaid, Maher, they were just immense.
It was real championship, which we didn't see, you know, a lot of in other games, you know. Well, what did you, just an overview of the weekend, like as Michael was saying, taking it back to that time of Donegal, kind of your memories. Obviously, that was a defining moment in the history, really, of GAA, because Jim Gavin, before that, was quoted saying, listen, we're going to stick to our principles, we're just going to play it our way, but he found out that he has to play it another way. It was the making, probably, of that Dublin saga that was about to come.
I think the thing about it is that teams are just going to play whatever way they can get success. That's just the bottom line. And if you ask any player or manager, they'll say the same. And like even from the Kerry side of things yesterday, Jack O'Connor was asked in the press conference, you know, could you have done anything differently? And he says, and I would agree with him, you know, when you're faced with a team like that that plays a certain way, you just have to mirror them, or else you risk a chance of just being caught out, I suppose, for no, you know, for want of a better term. And I think by and large, it was a disappointing weekend all around. And if it was, like as Michael chatted about that third quarter, whenever, you know, Galway, it was probably typified by Matthew Tierney winning the throw-in and just the energy he brought even with that. Outside of that there, it was a dead duck. Obviously, the teams who have advanced to the last four, they'll not care one jot because they're there. They have 2 weeks to go for another step. But it's disappointing fair. And probably from, like you're chatting about Dublin and Galway, and we were saying it in the house watching it, and Michael, you had said it also in your commentary, like just the fact that they started with their finishers, I found very strange. And you would probably think that there's still something in Paul Mannion's legs late on. Like when you think back to Ryan O'Donoghue's free from the wrong side in Castlebar, that, you know, could have sealed something for Mayo. You know, if Mannion's off, is it not sort of that parish where Cluxon can come up with his left foot and kick it over the bar? You know, Michael is a free taker. Surely you want to be kicking from the favourable side. Wee things that Galway felt, you know, but that's, at the same time, you can't take away from what Galway did. And I think back to the day Galway played Derry down in Salt Hill. They were at their lowest ebb in terms of personnel, but Pádraig Joyce kept them up with the amount of inexperienced players that were gone, which was an immense credit. And it actually probably was probably their advantage now, because people were forced to get game time. And if you look at Tom O'Callaghan, it was his first point of the season, and what an important one that was. So yeah, it probably saved the weekend in some regards. But if it had been on Sunday evening, it would have been fresh in the memory. But Sunday evening fresh in the memory was the Derry Kerry dire 75 minutes.
We didn't want to say that now, Michael, but there you go.
You may as well be honest here.
Dire Straits. Do you know what, Michael? I want to get into other games and definitely want to talk about Galway Dublin a bit more in a minute, because obviously they are the next challenge up for the Donegal men. But Michael, just around the Donegal game, in terms of the Louth tactic, I thought it was very interesting. Now, I was watching Louth the last couple of games when they were sitting in their defensive shapes only. There was men coming through and striking the ball over the bar from inside what was the scoring zone. And it's if, you know, we were talking about last week about, you could see now when Donegal, they were trying to detail a man for a man. So no matter where, you could see Donegal was going across the 45 and the guy was going with them. So everybody had a man. So they were trying to stop that thing where somebody would come in and get a free shot. But the problem was then it was often one-on-one. And people are questioning about Donegal defending as well. We didn't need, because we knew we could get forward and hit, you know what I mean? Like, if everybody's been, oh, what about our defending? But we can defend better than that. We didn't need to. I know that's not the perfect scenario, but you know what I mean? The game was very kind of open and nobody was really getting a piece of anybody. And when it came down to it then, we could open them up when we wanted. Yeah. Did you get that feel from it?
You probably got that feeling. And Donegal were playing so well going forward. Like, their efficiency in terms of their shots, everything was just ridiculous. They were getting scores from all over the pitch. And there actually was some really good, and I'm contradicting myself now, some really good examples of good Donegal defending, blocking. There were some good turnovers around the pitch, but there just wasn't enough of...
It definitely was spoken at half-time. Did you get that feeling? Because the second half, there was a clamp when they came in, two or three around. We didn't see too much at first half, but second half...
Yeah, definitely. There felt to be that clamp. Like, I can think of Keelan McLaughlin or Keelan McGonigal's block There's just another number of turnovers that I got, but there was just no, maybe what Donegal might be a bit disappointed with was when Louth got their hands on ball, whether it be from their own kick out, because there was a lot of their own kick outs because of Donegal's score, like 123. There was maybe very little cynicism, stoppage, slowing it down. They let them build up ahead of steam and momentum, all them things that maybe we don't want to see in the game just yet, but that's what Donegal, the winners and winners of All-Ireland, are going to, that is going to be a stat that will be up to any of the teams. If we're chatting about winning, if we're chatting about spectacles, we don't want to see that, but if we're chatting about winning, that's what they're going to see. So, but like, listen, that the story coming out of the Donegal game the weekend is the threats from all over the pitch. Like, mate, 5 points from play, 5 points from play from any forward, Davy, you would have been happy with yourself.
Unreal.
This fellow is playing wing back.
He seemed to be cornerback at times when he was starting his runs. The second half, he was the last man.
And the burners on at 100 mile an hour, and to kick the ball over the bar from the 40. Like, this isn't kicking over the bar from the top of the 21. Right. And he is so much confidence in his game patter. And I haven't mentioned him yet, Patter Mogan, in that one. But, but yeah, him and Ryan were sensational, and that's the strength of the Donegal team at the moment. It's not overly reliant. Even, you know, Oisin played well, Patrick did his bit.
Yes.
But no matter how the team is going, somebody hopefully will stand up at times. You know, Niall carried them through a lot of Ulster. Maybe the last couple of games has been maybe quiet by his standards, but there's somebody always to step up.
Is that something you think Jim has noticed I suppose from managing previous, that the more scoring threats you have, the better opportunity you're going to create, and to be honest with the lads, they're all confident in taking the shots. And maybe back a couple of years ago, that wasn't encouraged. Do you feel he's changed that, allowed them to express themselves on the pitch more?
I would say he allowed them to express themselves, but I think it's more from the point of view it's necessary. You know, you don't want to be pigeonholed as let's take come out, and you know what, we have a good chance at winning the game. I think they're looking around and they're saying let's get scores from here, there, and everywhere. You know, Derry were very much on that pathway last year. It's the one wee flaw. You look at this Kerry side and you say, let's take the two Cliffords and O'Shea out, and can the rest bet? And, you know, to some extent, they maybe answered that a small bit against Derry, and so far as a couple more stood up. But I'm still uncertain with that Kerry one as regards, you know, if you do take them out, do they have enough to win in All-Ireland? And, you know, time will tell on that one. But the Donegal at the moment going forward, they have that. And defence, like, I mean, I laughed that I watched the game back in the commentary very quickly. It was on Conor O'Donnell came in. I think it was Marty Morrissey was saying he's coming in at right corner back in place of Mark Kernan. So there's not a hope he's playing right corner back. But, like, realistically, Brendan McCall was full back. Every one of the rest.
Own band is what you call it. Attacking defender, but
Ken forwards, you know.
It's funny, that one. And that'll be an interesting one against Galway, because, you know, if they start something similar, it was the last day, Finnerty, you know, Tierney, Walsh, Comer, you need to mark a lot of them, man, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Well, what do you think of that, you know, in terms of just about Louth, probably early on, the first six attacks, we had 5 points, they had won. Did you get a feeling, though, Mal, that, as I was saying to you, we're playing each game dodging, depending on what we're playing? You know, if you look at the performances, just even casting your eye back to obviously Derry, the totally different thing against Tyrone, and Armagh, you know, coming into the championship then, the way we're playing. We didn't need to play it against Louth. It was one of those games where you always got the feeling the scoring threats were going to outdo them, so we didn't have to be clamped tight at the back.
I never thought that Donegal was in any danger, to be honest. And yeah, I think it's only the second time I've saw Louth in the flesh. And from listening to Keevan the other night at the talk show where he chatted about Louth's goal threat, like, they scored 30 goals in the previous 17 games or something, but... Yeah. I was actually just watching, you know, Craig Lennon, but he never really got through. Like, I didn't feel they would outscore them in points. Like, Donegal's scoring average this year is 116. Kerry and Dublin are 117 each, so that's the top end. And Louth needed goals, but it looked from high up that it was sort of Ryan McHugh playing back. Obviously, Kieran McGonigal, like, Michael, you chatted about just the impact of Patter Mogan and Ryan McHugh, but with Kieran McGonigal there, it just gives them so much license to go. But I think without the goal, as Keevan said the other night, without the goal, they were going to struggle, and they never really looked. There was one time Donegal got caught on a counter-attack, Brenton, and you could actually see Patton. He was out, and you couldn't... It's not as if there's a massive crowd. You couldn't hear him organising, but he was, like, organising the defence. And I think Ryan Burns ended up having to take a point. It would only be about a half chance for a goal, but even Patton's organising was enough for them. But like as you said, Michael, just the fact of with Galway having like out and out forwards, maybe it's maybe that means that Kieran McColgan starts the next time, and maybe Owen Mann has to stay back that wee bit more. But I don't think it'll rob them too much because they still have obviously Dara Wheel, Ryan McHugh, even like Kieran Moore as well, forward to kick a few points. So it's maybe a case of they just have so many, there's so much luxury in that department that I think it would be silly not to really go for it, especially when they're so super fit. You know, in Croke Park, if you can find those spaces to go in the overlap, I think you're going to have to go for it. But obviously Galway are that wee bit different, but Louth sort of never looked like it at Donegal. And you know, I think I've said it a couple of times to different people, just even Conor O'Donnell coming back, like they've just got a, you look through Donegal's scores, like I think out of the 26 the other day, Patton, Charles McGuinness and Stephen McManaman are the only men haven't scored this year. So there's scores from everywhere. And I think Jim's just going to have to rely, like as John Lynch said the other evening, he's just going to have to rely on a sheer relentless ability to cover back. And when we're touching on the Derry game later, that's where Derry are found out about, because if the energy levels aren't there, you can't play that game. Like Brendan Rodgers played a championship game a couple of years ago, he ran 17 kilometres. Like, how many years can you sustain that for? But at the minute, Donegal look like we can, so I think it's perfect for them, this the state of play.
17 kilometres,
especially with McGonagall, he's the key because he's such a good sitter.
Michael, that's the reason you just said, right, enough's enough.
Some
man's
running
17
games to
carry that. You hugged the box for a long time, you wouldn't come out.
That's some running there. My 17k could cover me in a season back in the day. do you know what, Michael? Michael Murphy, you've touched on a couple of points. Mal was just saying there, you know, about that spread of scores and Donegal over the pitch, you know, and just the game that it was, Michael, it was a strange game in many ways. It didn't feel like championship, even though it was a huge game. Quarter final, we haven't been in the semi final since your day in 2014. And I was just looking at Louth, even though people say it was a free hit, it didn't look like desperation on the line. Do you know what I mean? It seemed to be played in a very kind of almost friendly manner. Nobody got about anybody. I know there was no angst or no history, if you like. And I know it was 1957 since they had made a semi final. But, you know, you look at it, for example, you know, it's looking Langan making the team of the week there. Durnham's marking. He makes the team of the week as well. Do you know what I mean? It's that type of game. Yeah. If you're marking a boy and you both make the teams of the week, what does that tell you? You know, and listen, again, we played it the way we wanted. I felt that Donegal really dropped the shoulder and beat the man. And in a strange way, Louth, you know that hand pass drill you see at training? They seemed to be coming in the loop on the pass all the time. They weren't necessarily beating their men. They were coming on the go. You know, it was two slightly different styles. But once it came down to that 1v1, they were going to be in trouble.
Yeah, they were. And for all of Louth, I was probably expecting them to play a bit more. I watched them the week before, which against Cork was in a skin, and they got the 15 men behind the ball. But they clogged up the middle. Didn't really mark too many men, if you know what I mean. They clogged up the middle of the pitch. Whereas this time around against Donegal, it looks like they got the men behind the ball, but they marked everybody, if you know what I mean. And Donegal players,
it was brave, but it was going to be dangerous.
It was, because Donegal players were so smart. They all pulled to the wing and they all pulled inside. Like Patter Mogan's score, that one that we spoke about, where he put on the burners and got to the top of the D, was kind of, you know, if you look at it, the Donegal players had kept away. They kept the middle wide open for him to absolutely bomb into, and he bombed into it and pulled on the brakes with two Louth men chasing. So Donegal, they're smart in terms of keeping their width and depth in that way. But I was expecting Louth probably to play that a little bit just more, clog up the middle and allow, see if Donegal can break them out and around the edges. But when that wasn't the case, and it continued not to be the case, you know, Donegal just kept chipping and chipping away scores. Yeah. It's a difficult one to kind of speak more and more in depth about, because it was just Donegal were going to outscore. And I think as a result, they found it that much easier. Maybe, you know, I've no doubt that they'll be sitting there this week, and they will be saying, like, defensively, they will need to up intensity around that middle section. It'll stop allowing the teams get up front that little bit too early, and that little bit too quickly, because if they don't, you know, and, you know, when Galway get in around there, the likes of Walsh, Fannerty, Comer, you know, Mahers, shotgun runners, all that kind of thing, they will cause them bother. They'll have to, you know, cause a bit more carnage out around the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I suppose with Jason coming back as well, hopefully for that reason alone, it's going to be a big boost too, you know, for the midsection. But
we struggled kind of for a target man for Pat, and then with McGee out, you know,
a couple of the long kick outs. Yeah. You noticed that where the shorts had kind of closed down. They aimed at Michael Langan quite a bit. They nailed Kieran Thompson with kind of one on the run towards the end of the second half. Great score for Jimmy Brennan. But you are right, and listen, Galway have monsters across the middle of the pitch. Like Galway at the moment against Dublin, we're happy to say, you know what, it's a risky tactic, like, you know, in order to get prime possession, but they said, you know what, the short's not on, we're going long, and they just, it was old, like they bomb, and they've done it for quite a bit of the year so far, where they had it long and they backed themselves in with like what they finished there, probably with Kelly being off, with Darcy coming in, he's 6'2", 6'3". You know, they have Conroy, a big man, you know, they have Maher, just an absolute, you know, battering ram that's there, and then Kelly McDade added into the mix. So they have, they're big along that back line. Donegal will need that. You know, that's going to be a challenge for them around that middle section to really try, and it's been an area they've been good at. And you know, it's been brilliant to have Michael and Jason there both playing together, and they're going to need every one of them now for 2 weeks. You know.
Yeah. Well, just before we get on to, you know, we can talk a wee bit about the other games. The Pádraig Mógán performance. You know, we've seen. You know, you often see. I think with Donegal, the mantra is, and it'll be same for Michael's time. You know, everybody works hard and does the game plan, which means you're a seven. Everybody should be a seven, and then you wait for these people, as Michael's saying, to hit the heights. You know, you try to get a couple of boys to eights, nines, maybe a 10. Pádraig Mógán, a 10 out of 10 for you, Michael. And just Michael mentioned his shooting from range as well. When he's on the run, he's able just to take that wee bit of a split second to tee himself up. Like, he's a very assured kicker, even under pressure. And even one that he hit, there was a block down coming in, he hit it with the top of his foot. He is a super array of skills.
Yeah, he kicked one into the Davin end, and it was an unbelievable score. It was like, did that really go over? But he just looks so, so natural at what he does, and he would need to have a really poor performance in a semi-final or a final if Donegal get there not to get an All-Star at this stage. You know, he just can't see it. He can't see how he doesn't pick up one. And as a smashing footballer, I remember seeing him at minor level, and he was special, and he's just got even better. And I don't know, Yous will probably know more because he's watched it closer, but this was definitely his best season ever, and a big plus, as well as keeping most people injury-free, obviously, but a big, big plus has been Pádraig Mógán. And maybe on an aside as well, I chatted about Kyle McGonigal earlier on. Shane O'Donnell has been an unbelievable worker for that Donegal team, and like, he chips in with, you know, maybe a point a game as well, so the likes of him, he seems to pop up everywhere. He won that penalty against Derry, allows Mógán to go and do what he does. And like, surely like Ryan McHugh won't be his man marked anymore. So maybe the best, you know, say for example, Galway start Johnny Heaney as somebody who'd maybe run after Pádraig Mógán, for example, say, Johnny, just you track him. Then Ryan McHugh becomes free. So the form of Mógán is maybe even more important, not just from his own performance, but what he does for the entire team. I think he's just a smashing player.
Yeah, and Michael, before we get into kind of, well, look who you had to Galway and Donegal, that type of player, you remember Pádraig coming in and the likes of Ryan and that, you know, the game seemed to go very physical at one point with all the S&C, and there was a lot of power, and, you know, you look at all the work being done, and again, you know, Jim, obviously, with the boys in the back, Anton's in there doing the S&C, obviously, as they mentioned, Luke Barrett and your former teammates, you know, Colin McFadden and Neil McGee, and, you know, this savage work being put in by everybody there, the backroom team and the medical and all that. But there was a time where Gaelic looked like it was going down a power route where you couldn't really have. Now we're looking at, you mentioned, probably, you know, give or take, maybe our two best players, Lomie Moore maybe, are that smaller, slight man that you can't really get your hands on in Croke Park. In many ways, could that work to Donegal's advantage maybe? And are you seeing now that it's going back, maybe football's changing a bit more under the skill? You know, you obviously need your big men for certain areas, but you don't need them everywhere.
Are you making a comeback, Davey, are you?
A wing back.
Need to get the arms worked out on him here. Give him the S&C.
Need a bit of juice.
yeah, you'd be a man sitting back in at six there.
Keeping oh, but spraying passes.
I think you've kind of answered it. I think the balance is the one. Like, I mean, if you go all small, you're gonna struggle. I think prime possession people, oppositions now will find little chinks or weaknesses, and probably every team that's left, even in the last four, has a chink or two in them to be trying to expose, and you'd be sure the oppositions are plotting and planning, trying to expose that. Height can be it in some stage, but at the other stage it could be worked to your advantage in terms of having the speed. Probably the games, even probably 12, 13, 14 we were playing, there was a lot of physicality let go. There's a lot of tackles and three in clumping tackles, and I know that for myself, trying to go around and had a few tackles up front. You're probably let away with it a little bit more now. It's technically refereed now at such a level that you can't foul, and these speedsters know that. So they just are ticking on you on at your shoulder, and they're going to drop the shoulder.
He was famous for the big thump tackle later on. He might have gone right the first one. It was a yellow. He kind of softened a few boys with that was a forearm smash.
They felt sorry for the full forward, but I learned in later years wasn't going to get away with them just as much. But these lads, they know that the quick lads, they're dropping the shoulder and they're going. And it's like a domino effect. Then when they go and they're past somebody, then it requires another defender to come to them, and now they're smart, and when another defender comes, they'll find the spare man, so they'll just keep moving that ball to find the spare man these sides. And that's Donegal, we're lucky at the moment that they're doing it and doing it well.
Looking at Kieran McGonigal here in the paper, the arms are just bulging out of him, so he's definitely doing something.
It's been a huge lift, and Mal's been right. Like, we've probably as kind of maybe struggled for that sixth linchpin, and he's doing that, holding the centre, he's showing for kickouts, you know, he's getting rid of pressure by carrying ball out of defence for you. He's doing so many kind of different roles there, and he's doing them dynamically. Mm. He's not just sitting in there, he's getting around.
He's able to take a tackle and drive at the same time. Very few people can do that. Michael, he's quite contented slowing the ball, and the guy's actually tackling him, and he's just shrugging.
But is that something, suppose that's the magic of Jim McGuinness, you know, seeing the calibre of him from that position? Like, suppose For a six, you have to have a lot going on. You have to understand the game quite a lot. It just shows you exactly the way Jim thinks about the player, first of all. I suppose when he started to maybe try him at that position, to give him that confidence to do that week in, week out now, it just shows you.
I think the confidence, the one, was when we first came in too, that was the first move with Lissy at the time. It was moved when he was a cornerback at that time, an all-star cornerback who you would have had nailed down in the star man, you know, a cornerback. But Jim's seen a bigger berth from at six, you know, obviously can still man mark. He, you know, famously would have marked Mark Lynch or, you know, Alan Brogan or any of the half forwards that are there. But then they've seen more in his game going forward. Like, so, he would have given, you can be sure he's given confidence to Keelan in there.
2012, we've seen him going forward into the big guy here, bang, back on it.
He was roaring at him, get that ball.
Listen, perfect, lads. We're going to take a quick break. We'll take it up after this, okay? Yes, welcome back, folks. We're just doing a roundup of the weekend and the excitement that is Donegal getting ready for an All-Ireland semi-final. Michael McMullen, as friends call him Mal, so I'm calling him Mal here. Mal, just rounding up the weekend, the pressure that was on our friends in Armagh after another tough defeat in the Ulster final. They had regrouped, brilliant performance at Celtic Park, went down into Galway, really passive first half, lucky to get through it with a 1-1. In terms of topping the group then, and then against the Rossi side, which had performed well against Tyrone, be it on the backs of Craig Cox, Murta and Donny Smith in particular, that was to me the most intriguing game of the weekend. Was it Rossi's obviously lost a couple of men to sending off, did it ruin it, Mal, or do you think that Armagh were going to have too much for them anyway?
It definitely was a tricky enough fixture for them, because they went to Markovitch Park, and probably Conor Gleeson's kick out gave them a lifeline back into the game. Like, it looked as if it was gone, but then they found a way of hanging in there. And I suppose they've been on the wrong side of so many heartbreaks. Like, it's well documented without going into them again, but they probably were under pressure just to break that quarter final stage. And Conor Turbitt's goal, obviously, he made a good tackle. But it maybe shows that teams can't afford to. You can't afford to go short against Armagh. You know, they seem to be able to punish you. They squeezed up on Derry every opportunity they got, so they seem like a hungry team. and they obviously wanted to progress. But a couple of things about Armagh, just like what I found, I've said it in a few different podcasts and just different times you're chatting to people, like after the Ulster final this year, like people calling for Kieran McGeaney's head and things like that, like the man has to go because they haven't won. But they've just been so, so close. And like they're a county that, like Michael, we were chatting earlier about Donegal's development squad process for a feature I did, just the way you just needed to change things at underage level. Like Armagh don't really have a lot of school success and minor success. And like Cross Glen haven't dominated the way they used to. So he has brought a group of players together that have stuck together, Brenton. You know, and at probably the time they had the three or four injuries against Derry, like everybody chatted about Derry's injuries, but Armagh were missing so many key players. But, you know, the likes of Niall Grimley got a wee bit of club football and then he stuck with it and he had a horseshoe of a game that day. You know, so wee things that got there and they seem to have turned the corner, you know. And the other thing, and I was watching it on GA Go at home, so you can only see what the camera lets you see. But Michael, you were probably up in the stand with a good view. Like Armagh's first three balls with Ray and O'Neill, they seemed to look to kick the ball. And I remember thinking to myself, even that early on, I thought, this looks like a team that really suits Croke Park. But then probably Roscommon then decided to, you know, park the bus a wee bit further back and maybe the conditions didn't lend itself. But they sort of frustrated Armagh, you know. But I still didn't think, Brent, I didn't think Armagh was ever looked like they were going to be beaten, to be honest. And probably, as I say, that goal, their second goal just put the tin hat on it, you know. But they'll just be relieved. You use that word pressure, Brenton. I suppose if you've been knocking around the stage without getting past it, you need to get there. And back to the point I made about, you know, if there's been four poor games at the weekend, the winners don't really care because it's all about on to the next stage. You know, the quality of the football is a debate for another day with rule changes, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, from Armagh's point of view, they'll be happy. And then obviously they're going to play against Kerry. And the way Kerry played at the weekend, you know, they'll fancy their chances that it's a very much a 50-50 game. And Sam's up for grabs at this stage, folks. It really is. It's up for grabs.
He is indeed. Michael, what you were up at Dublin for GA Go, and what did you make of it? It was like the warm-up to the bigger game, wasn't it? It was kind of played out in Armagh's terms. Do you think this ended off? You know, obviously it was Murray and Harney went off injured as well, and you needed everything to go right for Roscommon, didn't you? I mean, the week previous they had three wides and they played a brilliant tactic against Tyrone. They needed that level of game, didn't they? And they missed a lot. I mean, particularly, I was just looking, particularly Craig and Marta missed scores they wouldn't normally miss.
Yeah, they were just lacking any efficiency, and it felt like out of all the teams that had the three games back to back to back, they felt like they were the biggest casualties off that. You know, coming into it, you just felt the first half they were just trudging through it. Like, I mean, they had, I think they had a point maybe scored up to midway, like maybe 25 minutes into it. And even for all that, and this is the thing with Armagh, that it's just so hard to hang your hat on them. There's so many brilliant qualities. Mal had spoke about them there in terms of their togetherness, how long they've kept battling. Their defence is as good as there is about. Don't think they've conceded a goal in the Championship this year and don't even really look like kind of conceding any goal. And listen, defensively against Kerry, they are going to be on it. I can be assured of that. If Kerry got a trouble with Derry defensively, they are going to get it even more in the neck against Armagh. But even how poor Roscommon were, Armagh scored 1-3 in the first half, and still I can't get away from just their... And it's not that we're asking, I've asked her plenty of times to go out and play that front foot nature that they can do, that they've shown in Croke Park over the last number of years that they can do it. It's not that they have to play that 100% of the time. It's not going to happen, I don't think, anyway. But they just need to tweak the balance. At the moment, we're probably seeing 90% full on the zonal defence they're playing, and they're getting up the field and they're trying to find an intricate way of getting through the opposition's defence. It just doesn't, that intricate way doesn't suit their Armagh attack enough. They need to play a bit more kicking. And it was so noticeable, Mal Wright, the first three kicks, Ray O'Neill got the ball, he lamped it to the square, Murnan, Turbot right away off the throw-in, Turbot gets it, bang, over the bar. And we're not naive enough to know that that can't be played all the time, but I just think Armagh need to get that balance a little bit more right. And if they do and can strike it, they'll cause Kerry, I think, really, really big problems.
Mm. Michael, you see when you're watching it from your commentary position, like, why did they stop? Did Roscommon change something? Because, as I say, we're watching at home and you literally see the camera flow. But did Roscommon change the way they'd set up that made Armagh go, or did they maybe just go into themselves again?
It was more Armagh continued to bring everybody back. You know, they didn't probably risk it. If you looked at the couple of the kicking teams the weekend, the Dublins, the Galways, in order to hit a successful kick, you need a kicker, but you need a receiver. You need somebody up there to try and receive it at some level. And, you know, Turbot, all the boys, they were all coming back. And, like, that's something you can't question with this side, is their ability to put the shoulder to the wheel for the team. But just the balance wise, the odd time, Mal, you know, they just needed a couple more targets up there to kick the ball too, you know.
This was like the Murphy conundrum for years. We wanted Michael far forward, we wanted Michael kicking it in.
Got out to the middle there and catch here and kick it into yourself, Michael. Really?
Well, what did you make of now? Listen, Kerry got the job done and they're unbeaten and no one's really talking about them. They'll be favourites, obviously, just because their recent history and the squad that they have. You know, everyone's talking to this Galway Donegal encounter. Are Armagh now, you know, after the performance and then the way the game went, is it a great position for them to be going into this game in terms of the way Ulster teams play it? And if you look at Derry, Armagh have more going forward in Derry. They have more options. If they were able to maybe strangle and shut down a Kerry forward line, which isn't operating, you know, is this a savage opportunity for them?
Massive opportunity, to be honest. And, like, Armagh have more attacking threat than Derry have in terms of variation. Like, Shane McGuigan scored 33% of Derry's scores all year. I think Sam Mulroy with 35%. He was the most reliant forward in that whole top 12. Armagh don't have that. They have variation. So that maybe ties up a Tom O'Sullivan that wee bit more. Maybe Brian O'Bigla. I can't really say it properly. I need him and Morris to say it. But, you know, that may tie up Kerry from going forward that wee bit more. But it's a massive opportunity. It's a serious opportunity for anybody. But I can't see, fear's not the right word, but I can't see them going into this game thinking that it's not that they're not earning final spots beyond them. I can't see that. They're bound to go, and Donegal will be the same, and so will Galway. This is so, so open. Like, I felt it was Dublin's to lose. They're gone. This is wide open. They have a chance here. And like Michael said, They're very, very solid. They don't look like they're going to concede. You know, they have I'm sort of surprised Greg McCabe hasn't got as much game time as he has, because he was sort of playing that sort of McGonagall role for them, where he was very, very safe along that. You know, and he was a big loss actually when they took him off in the Ulster final. I don't think Oran Doherty gets that point if McCabe's still on the pitch. So, but maybe they've decided just to go with different personnel. But obviously, Barry McCambridge and Paddy Burns coming back in has left them what probably is their first choice defence. So Jack O'Connor and the management and the Kerry players, they'll know what they're going to face. This is a big game.
They've an ace card too in the Armagh camp. They've Kieran Donaghy sitting in there, so he'll know a thing or two about Kerry.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jason McGahan, the strength and conditioning man, he's a former Armagh minor, so.
There you go. And Michael, just looking at Clifford, what's your read on it? You know, just going into the last day's game, Kerry had scored 468 and he'd only scored 212 of that. Predominantly Freeze as well. You know, I was just looking, next to Thomas Sullivan, even Murphy, and different fellas was coming up from the back, you know, chipping in with points of bug leg there, as Mal was saying. Is that suit the team better, do you think? Or is Clifford actually just going to hit form? Or is it just that so many teams just have people just following him everywhere and closing him off? Is it possible for him to hit the heights that he has previous?
I think it'd be a mash of everything at the moment. Like, there's no doubting about he's not hitting that same levels, and that's no you know, slight on him whatsoever, because the levels he's hitting consistently over the last number of years, what we've been watching, 12 months of the year, watching the National Leagues, we've been watching the Munster Championships, All-Ireland Championships, we go back, start watching him in the club again. It's just ridiculous levels, and I was so amazed at that consistency of it, that there just has to be some lull or give somewhere along the line. And you know, it's interesting with them, it's interesting what Mal said there, they're still the highest scorers, or joint highest averages along with Dublin on that. And there's no doubt, I think, you know, smart managers and teams are thinking, we need to spread this burden, because if oppositions are sitting down, they're plotting for only one or two players, there's going to be a day you're going to come a cropper. So they are trying to look for that bigger spread. But there's no doubting about it. Even the last day, like, I mean, they're just... If you're a Kerry player in that team and you have David Clifford on your side, I don't know what I'd be saying every day of the week, but I'd be saying, run the ball, kick the ball to him. If you can't kick it to him, run it in and hand it to him and tell him to do it. And they just, I still don't think they do it enough. And I know the inter-county game, I'm not stupid enough to know it's not that easy, but they just need to get the ball in his hands a lot more.
He still looks like he's going to be so dangerous. Because he burned McCaig one time. What are you thinking about that, man? It was, 50 minutes, it was 8 each. I mean, it was a horrible game, but were you thinking, would this have saved Hart? Well, or is Hart... What do you think is going to happen after this now? If Derry had pulled this off, it would have been unbelievable, and I think it might have been enough. Do you think your feeling is that because you've lost this game and what's went before it, there might be a change? And if there is, well, there's not a whole procession of people ready for what you would want is taking a team on, you know, a fella that can take the team to the next level, which is why Hart was brought in.
Yeah, it's definitely, it would have been a big result for Derry to get on for Mickey, but the thing about it is, it's easy to get a manager, but it's hard to get a good one. And like, he's in there for 3 years, he's got that term. So, like, he's won the league, and he had a few injuries, and he's sort of maybe a wee bit like Donegal at the tail end of last year. Even though it was a disappointing season, by the end of the year, Donegal had sort of got back on track a wee bit towards the end of the championship, even though they were knocked out. Maybe a wee bit like Derry. So, I can't see him not being back, to be honest, but. Is there any such thing as, you know, there's no such thing as a shock anymore. Like, it was a shock he was appointed in the first place. So nothing will surprise you. But, like, if Mickey isn't the manager next year, you know, what is it? Like, Rory Gallagher, in my opinion, pulled Derry by the scruff of the neck and got them to one of the top dogs. You know, you have likes of Malachy O'Rourke and, you know, people like that. So it's very difficult to see what would happen. But as we sit here talking on a Monday night, you know, 24 hours after, I can't see it not being the case. But as I said, I remember being on...
You think Hart will stay?
Well, at the moment, he will. But right. I was just about to say that, Brenton. Like, last year, whenever Donegal had part of company with air management, and I think it was on the DL debate too, we were chatting about what happens next. I think a lot of it has to come from... Like, I don't think it really matters what people on the outside think, to be honest. I think management decisions have to come from, I'm not saying player power, but they have to come from the playing group or the people who really matter. Because, like, at the end of the day, a supporter turns up on a Sunday and watches the game. People in the media turn up on a Sunday, they report on the game, but the players are pouring their lives into it. They're in the camp all the time. There's been so many rumours have come out about the whole, I suppose, collapse. But none of it seems to be true. And if it has been true, nobody's really talking about it. So if there is going to be a change, I'll say it again, it has to be coming from within the group. Like, yeah. Michael will probably back me up on this. Whenever you're in an environment like that where you're given, you know, 7 days a week, you know, for so many weeks, they're the people that really need to be involved in any sort of decision-making process for me. And it's not just Mickey Hart, it's any manager. Like, it's a wee bit like somebody says to me, is Kieran McGinney under pressure because he kept one piece of silverware? But the Armagh players, none of them left the panel, Breton. Like, they all stuck with it. He let a few of them go to play club football, so it has to come from within. So maybe in the next few weeks we'll hear a wee bit more, but I'll say it for a third time, it has to come from the people closest to it that make that decision about what happens next. Because, you know, likes of ourselves in the media are fans. I don't think we're in properly positioned to judge. I don't think.
Yeah. I don't think all them rumours can be true, Michael, because there was so many of them. I don't think now Derry will go on a training camp to Portugal next year just to avoid the talk, because they...
Carton House from now on, Carton
House. Bundoran.
The thing, yeah, down to Bundoran. Listen, it just went absolutely crazy, Michael. Do you just... The Derry stardom, I suppose, caused that. You know, a team that went up and then they were... Particularly after the league final, the whole thing just went absolutely mental. And then it works against you then when there's a drop.
Yeah, everybody's asking us what happened. Like, it is again, Mal's right. You're looking in from the outside. You're guessing. You're guessing a lot of it. The one thing I kind of will say on it is they've had a really steady, naturally steady rise over the last 5 years through divisions. Even in Championship, there's been a steady improvement to the fact that they got Ulster. Won Ulster a second time, got to All-Ireland quarters, got to All-Ireland semis. So it's been a perfect steady rise. Yeah. All of a sudden then the rise comes to, you're now All-Ireland contenders. And when you move on to that stage of being a pretender to being a contender and potentially being an All-Ireland contender, you become under the microscope bigger than anything. And even when performance, you look at Dublin, like the way we've analysed them over the last 10, 12 years, even an 8.1, you're like, geez, their attack wasn't going as well.
Yeah.
Or do you know what? Their kickouts, they struggled in their own kickouts. And Derry got that scrutiny after the league final, and their first piece of scrutiny as an All-Ireland contender, favourite up there in that route, was the weeks after in the preparation for the Donegal game, and how that went or where that went or what happened, what didn't happen. And then for that Donegal result to come, you know, they're not being judged just at an Ulster, first round of Ulster against Donegal. They've been judged as an All-Ireland contender, and that's a difficult one, because the scrutiny and the level of scrutiny and the kind of the, how it was poured through the media thereafter and around the country, you know, that's the level of scrutiny comes when you're an All-Ireland contender, you know.
Yeah, and that's Michael.
The one thing I will say on that is that no matter what happens next year, I think number one priority is to get a bit more depth to the panel.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we need to start turning all these minor teams into a bit of success at under 20 level. And then in the club scene, try and find out, is there another Dermot Baker out there? I think that's the number one priority above anything for me, because we just have been sort of tread bare a wee bit.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
You're more than welcome to do it. We're just down to the last few seconds of the show. These Derry minors coming through and these throwing under 20s, we could be a bar, Michael. So let's enjoy it. We're going to do a massive preview next week of the show, Park, leading up to, of course,
I'm looking forward to that.
We'll do that.
Be interesting to see.
The major matchups, everybody goes crazy for.
Do the matchups,
right. Michael Murphy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michael McMullen.
Trudy and Paul are about to come on for the Monday session. Stay tuned. Joe Dex for producing. Thank you very much. I'll speak to you next week.